Hello, and welcome to this Single Scoop episode. I'm JR, and I'm joined by my co-host, Oldar.
Howdy.
Today, we're going to be talking about the 2015 K-drama, I Remember You, or Noru Gyoke, also known by its English name, Hello Monster. This episode contains spoilers for the show, so please keep that in mind. Without further ado, let's get into it.
The show follows the genius deductionist Lee Hyun and Detective Cha Jian as they solve cases in the current day as well as a past case involving their family members and a serial killer. Both of them are quite antagonistic towards each other at the start, but they warm up as they interact and learn more about each other. It originally aired from June 22, 2015 to August 11th. It has 16 episodes, which is a pretty standard fare. It was written by Kwon Ki-young, who you might know from Suspicious Partner, or more recently from Link, Love, Eat, Kill. The directors were No Sang-hoon, who's done a lot of drama specials, and Kim Jin-won, who actually directed one of JR's favorites, Just Between Lovers.
This show actually has quite the star-studded cast, with some members being famous to begin with, and others going on to be famous a few years after this aired. First off, the queen, Jang Nara, plays Cha Jian. We all know her from various K-dramas, such as You Are My Destiny and, more recently, Hello Baby. The main male lead is So In-guk. He plays the character of Yi Hyun. You might know him from shows like Reply 1997 and Cafe Minamdang. Park Bo-gum took on one of his first major roles, playing Jang San-ho. Following this show, he wowed in Reply 1988 and others as well. So we have two Reply alumni in this K-drama, although obviously Park Bo-gum did his later. Finally, Choi Won-young plays Yi Jun-young, also sometimes in the show called Yi Jun-ho. He has been a mainstay in the K-drama world and has quite the range. You might have seen him in The Heirs, a show that I have personally seen like four times at this point, once including with Oldar. So that one is a classic. And he's also been in the show My Dangerous Wife.
In this next section, we'll talk about if there were any idols in the show. Newer K-drama fans might not know this, but Jang Nara was a first-gen solo singer. She technically quit singing ages ago, but has released the occasional album and will sometimes participate in OSTs for her shows. I am still very sad about this. I have not let it go that I remember her as a singer first. I think that she had more to do, but obviously it's up to her. I'm just sad and will forever be, and will still whine about it.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Do Kyung-soo, also known as Dio, is an EXO member. He plays a younger version of Choi Won-young's character, Yi Jun-young. Dio is more of a recurring character than a main cast member, but he definitely steals the show. With the basic information out of the way, let's talk about what we liked about this show.
That last bit about Dio is actually a great segue for me to say that I really like the casting of Dio in particular. This was one of the first shows I watched him in, and one of his first major acting roles. And I think he did such a spectacular job, in some cases, out-acting some of the veterans in the show, which I feel like might be a little bit of a controversial thing to say, but if you have seen this show, you understand what I'm saying. That being said, I do kind of want to like talk about his career a little bit. SM was not exactly careful with Dio's first acting roles. This is definitely a grittier character than what you often see idols take on when they're first starting in the K-drama world. For instance, I recently saw 2PM's Taekyun saying that JYP wouldn't let him play antagonists. But as soon as he got out of JYP, he got cast in Vincenzo, which was a complete 180. He played a fantastic villain in that, and it really paid off. So a lot of companies do this thing where they, like JYP, will say, no, you cannot play controversial type roles, and they only give them really fluffy stuff or like really attractive characters, stuff like that. Dio did not have that. He played, I think his first ever role was in It's Okay That's, or what was it called?
And That's Okay, That's Love?
Yeah, That's Okay, That's Love, or something like that. The one with, I can't remember any of the people in it right now, but he essentially played the main character's imaginary friend. And he was kind of a weird character. This one, he plays a serial killer. He was also in Cart, which was a drama, and it was really intense and emotional. They really allowed him to flex his acting chops right away, which I think is incredible, and I think it really paid off. Because, in my opinion, Dio is the best idol actor out there right now. He's so good at expressing himself, even when he's not speaking, and you are just instantly drawn to whatever he's doing. And he can also do, like, romantic comedies really well, too. He was in 100 Days My Prince, which I know you saw, Oldar, and he was really great in that, too. So,
yeah.
I am a huge fan of Dio. His solo music is really good, too. But again, besides the point, he honestly, I think, is the best part of this show. And he's not even there for that long. So, yeah, that's my first one.
I think that he picks his scripts, assuming that it's him getting a say in it. It's not just SM going, go forth. We've got something for you. I think that he picks it really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he's into something, I'll read the story and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Then he just happens to be in there. It's kind of like Yesung, how it's like, Yesung doesn't play flat.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't go for roles in dramas that are just bleh. He doesn't go for dramas that are just
generic,
run-of-the-mill, you'll forget it. Yeah. And I think that Dio is the same way.
Agreed. Oldar, what was your first like of the show?
I had only one thing I actually liked about this show, and that was the unintentional humor of many situations. For a show about crime, there were sure a lot of goofy moments or bits of information presented that had me thinking of this show much more than I assumed the writers were hoping for or meant. Like, my favorite example of this was the relationship between the two main serial killers. The main serial killer basically abducted a kid and raised him to also be a serial killer. Mm-hmm. But by the time the story starts, they are both professionals who had to have gone through college. One had to get a medical license and the other had to pass the bar. This raises questions like, did Dio's character have to go to parent-teacher conferences, sign permission slips so Park Bo-gum's character could go on field trips and help him apply to college? Also, before anyone brings up how Dio is good at cooking, we don't know that about his character, which means that at some point, he had to have picked it up, since we see his character when he's older doing that a lot. Like, at some point, he got tired of getting fast food for both of them. And I just found their relationship to be fascinating. And I'm pretty sure that the writers didn't mean for me to think about it that much. But it was genuinely the thing I had the most questions about. There are certain ways with how absurd some of the situations were that I couldn't stop thinking about, which on one hand, it makes the drama stand out to where it's something that I'll likely remember farther down the line, like in a couple years. But I think what I focus on was not what they meant for me to focus on.
Right.
Like, if you see, like, the marketing for this, they heavily promote the love line and, ooh, isn't this kind of cute? We've got these two protagonists who are going after the bad guys and they're gonna fall in love because, you know, of course, K-drama. But there were just some weird things about the show that I was way more interested in than the main stuff that I'm pretty sure the writers wanted me to look at.
Honestly, if they had made the show about a serial killer raising other serial killers, because Park Bo-gum's character is not the only one he's raised, we come to find out. We come to find out that another person on Cha Jian's team at the police station actually was another one of his little projects that he raised, another orphan. And so if you think about Choi Won-young, Park Bo-gum, that other kid, and just like throw in a few other actors, like, it could be played as a comedy. Because Dio's character is really young when he takes Park Bo-gum in. So it's like a single father, like, found family type situation. Or it would be if they had gone down that route. And honestly, I think it would have been a lot more interesting than the actual plot of this show if they had gone in that direction.
So when they set up one of the serial killers to being a lawyer and the other one to being basically a doctor who does autopsies, I think that they were just more trying to go for the whole, ooh, you never know who is up to stuff in their off time. I think that's where they meant to go with it and end it there. But this raised so many more questions.
Yeah, agreed.
And also, since Park Bo-gum's character was abducted so young, like, there was probably a point to where, like, he threw up or something like that when he was a kid, and Dio's serial killer character had to help him out, like, take him to, like, the doctor and stuff like that. So the more you think about it, the funnier it is. And I guarantee that's not what the writers were shooting for.
Yeah. And that's about it for the likes. There's not a ton of good to say about this show, and it's not even, like, a fun quote-unquote bad show to watch. So, we are going to jump right into our dislikes. My first dislike. I initially chose this show for the two of us to watch because I remember really loving it in 2015. However, like Rooftop Room Cats for old R, this did not age well at all. The plot was rough at best, the sets were questionable because the precinct looked like a modern office building, the costumes were pretty ugly, and just overall, I was so disappointed coming back to the show 8 years later, and I was also quite apologetic because it was honestly horrid.
I think that we had a better time with this one than Rooftop Room Cats. Mm-hmm. Rooftop Room Cats was just depressing all the way down, whereas this one, because of the absurdity of it, like, there was room for entertainment. Like, it wasn't the so bad it's good, like, Emergency Act 19, where, like, it was just super wild and it's funnier over time. It wasn't mm-hmm. that. It's just absurd. To me, the police station looked more like an artsy office building, or at mm-hmm. times I even was like, this looks like a museum, or yep. like a college campus building that's meant for the arts where people put their stuff on display. And the wild thing about that, though, is that we saw actual police stations in this show.
Right.
Like the outside that you typically expect, which makes this even stranger.
The thing with the police station in particular is that they weren't on any special sort of unit to justify having such a strange building. You know, like if they were some fancy unit with a fancy name, you could suspend your disbelief and be like, okay, they have something special for these people because they're a special team. But they were just normal cops. So it didn't make any sense.
We mentioned in voice that if you were a cop or an EMT, some kind of emergency services personnel, mm-hmm. watching it, you would be kind of annoyed with certain parts of it. I feel like you would be more annoyed with this one than that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because whereas in voice, when people actually did their job and they kind of gave it the gravitas, even if it was a bit absurd, this did not.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of like the opening scenes, they're supposed to be, you know, wearing basically booties so that way they don't, you know, track in stuff for the crime scene. And then there's just some people who, nah, not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the no gloves.
Yeah, it was obvious everyone's they didn't getting their have fingerprints a specialist on set, like assisting them in the realism of it. Which, you don't have to have realism, but there was nothing fantastical about the show to warrant not following normal protocols, you know?
Also, it just felt like common sense that when you're going somewhere, especially when there were times where they were dusting for prints,
mm-hmm.
and then the detectives would be handling it without gloves, made no sense. It was so absurd. It was like, this is gonna get thrown out at court.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And then, in addition to the police stations, there were also a few Western-style houses that made no sense for the characters to have. Like, Seung-guk and Park Bo-gum's dad had this Western-style house, which was close to the prison where he worked at. So I could kind of see if, like, that was sort of rented to him by where he was working, because I know that's sometimes a thing. But then, like, after Seung-guk's character sort of leaves, he just puts covers over it, completely empty. He comes back to it years later. It was just very strange, especially considering how expensive houses like that were,
mm-hmm.
especially because of how massive they are. And then there's also Dio's older character who also has a Western-style house that's also massive. And it's like, how are y'all affording this?
Yeah, and the thing is, Seung-guk's father was like a psychologist or something, and he worked for
yeah.
the government because he was working with
right.
inmates and stuff. So it's like, he probably wasn't making good money.
No. And that's the reason why I assumed that the house was sort of on loan from the government. But then apparently it was just left alone. And like all their stuff from like childhood still there. Like nothing was changed.
Yep.
It's very strange. Especially when there was a whole investigation in there. And you didn't see like traces of anything.
Right.
Because a lot of times when there's like something that happens, like you'll see like damage
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to the building. Nope. Not nope. here. It was very strange.
Yes. Okay, so for the second dislike. So many of the casting choices were just flat out bad. In my opinion, Jang-na-ra can pretty much do no wrong. But this show was so wrong for her. It was terrible. And that's not to say that she can't play strong assertive roles, because for a lot of her career she's done like kind of girl next door cutesy stuff, but the characterization of Cha Jian was very wrong for her. I don't think it served her at all. It could have been that the other casting choices were also poor, which I do think was part of the issue here. Like, I don't think Seon-guk did his best in this show either, and I think he's also a pretty good actor. They also didn't have a lot of chemistry, and yet they were trying to push a love line about, like, I want to say halfway through the show into the end. They never go too hard with it, but it still felt inorganic, like not authentic.
And at first, I thought it was going to be a situation like Jaejoong when he was cast in Dr. Jin. At the beginning of the show, I wasn't buying that he was a military / law enforcement guy. But by the end, I got why he was casted, besides the name recognition. And I was so invested with the journey his character was making, and I was totally buying it. I never got that with Jeong Na-da, especially when she's needed to be a voice of authority. It wasn't believable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of disappointed because I'm like, you're better than this.
Yeah.
I just feel like with some of these actors, if this was their first show of the actor,
mm-hmm.
they might think that they're not a good actor.
Yeah, which obviously was not the case for me the first time I watched this, because I loved it. I don't know what I was thinking 8 years ago, 7 years ago, whatever it was. But yeah, thankfully, I was not deterred by whatever was happening here. That being said, if you want to watch way better Jeong Na-da shows, most of her filmography is pretty good. Personally, one recommendation for her that I have is Sell Your Haunted House. I believe it came out about 2 years ago now. She's a super strong character, has a lot of authority, and it's overall just a much better use of her skills. And she meshes so well with the other characters in that show. I really love that one. That is one of my favorites of the new decade so far. So that one for sure.
Yeah, I think she's also great in Fated to Love You.
Which I have not seen yet, but I really want to.
That, I think that's the one with
Jang
Hyuk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where they were playing romantic characters to mm-hmm. each other. Which, again, it was weird to see him in a rom-com. But the character for her, especially, worked real well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you sympathized and wanted the best for her.
Something I completely somehow missed was that in 2023, she was actually in another K-drama with Jang Hyuk as a couple again, and I completely missed it. I don't know how, but they have had a good track record together, so I'm sure that one is pretty good as well, but I can't speak on it directly since I have not seen it. Also, if you want a good Seon-guk show, I suggest Doom at Your Service. That one also came out a couple years ago, I think. He also actually has quite a solid filmography as far as his acting goes. Like, again, he has a few misses, but his acting is usually top-notch. So that one is more of like a dramedy, I want to say. More like it has some black comedy in it, if I remember correctly. But if you want a true rom-com, I suggest Shopping King Louie.
And I second that. I think that Shopping King Louie was my first introduction to him. And I loved him from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that has great OSTs, if I remember correctly, too.
Which it does. Is
besides the point. But just a good show. And I feel like it didn't get as much love as it could have. Nam Ji-hyun is so good in that. I am going so off the rails here, but I like talking about good shows. So it's unfortunate that this is about a bad show.
Because you and I both like Shopping King Louie, we should probably do a single scoop on it someday.
That would be fun.
I wouldn't mind rewatching it.
Yeah, and it's been a while since I watched it too, so I think that would be fun.
Hopefully it holds up.
Mm-hmm, hopefully. But yeah, the final point we want to make is that the plot was an actual mess. It didn't make a lot of sense in places, and the individual stories over the course of single episodes were not that compelling. Honestly, the overarching story wasn't that compelling. But at least there was somewhat of a through line in those, and you were like, okay, we'll see what happens next. But the individual cases were not that fun.
Yeah, it felt like it was all over the place, and I was annoyed by that by the end, and I was like, let's wrap this up, folks. Mm-hmm. Like, oh shit, we got one more episode to go. Like, I was feeling like that towards the end. And even though I feel like it had its moments and it had ideas, it couldn't seem to pull itself together.
Yep.
It felt like whoever chose the locations didn't talk to the person who chose the costumes, who didn't talk to the people who did the music, who didn't talk to the people who wrote the crime stuff, and then those writers didn't talk to the people who were doing the love lines. It just felt like there was no cohesion.
Which, it was one writer, so it feels like it was written in chunks.
It does not feel
sewn
like that.
Together. So, yeah. Let me say this. I mentioned that Kwon Ki-young wrote Suspicious Partner. From what I remember and what the general reaction to Suspicious Partner was, people enjoyed it. And I remember the story being pretty okay. Like, it wasn't bad at all. However, the other one I mentioned from this writer, Link, Eat, Love, Kill, did not do well at all. I've been slowly, very slowly getting through it. And I can see why, which is unfortunate because the casting is really good and the acting isn't that bad, but the story is just not there. And I'm kind of surprised this writer keeps getting jobs, which I feel is mean, but I feel like they need to work on their craft a little more, or at least have like a co-writer to help them really solidify their ideas.
I mean, they do make dramas where it's like, oh, I know the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if you're a director looking for name recognition or a distributor, you would be looking for that kind of writer.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're not looking for something that's challenging. You just want something that's like going to stick and people will give it a chance to watch it.
Mm-hmm. If you feel like it's starting to drag at the end of it, though, I feel like that's where the issue comes in.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that reminds me that looping back to the whole weird serial killer situation. There was at one point where one of the serial killers made dinner for the other serial killer, his brother, mm-hmm. and then a detective. It was just weird.
So strange. Very odd. And there were so many moments like that where you're just like, what is happening right now?
There was one of the dinners where everyone was around the table and then there was a crime going on. And then the serial killers came and joined in the investigation. Because it wasn't their crime, I don't think. It was just so weird.
I don't know.
I feel like the whole, hey, there are serial killers involved with this, was treated very laissez-faire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, to be fair, though, I have seen people who, oh, that somewhat so-and-so has killed a couple people. I know that there are just some people who just are not fazed by it.
Right.
It's like, yeah, that so-and-so. Oh, well. Like, there are some people who are like that anyway, who know, are very well aware.
Mm-hmm.
But there were certain times where it's like only like half the people knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And I understood like the person who didn't know what was happening. But the times when it's like everyone at the table knows and they are still accepting food from these people.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
That's the thing. I remember Choi Won-young's reveal of being Dio's character. I remember that being like shocking to me. Like that was one of the parts I was anticipating you coming across. But as the show went on, I was like, this is not going to be that big of a reveal. Like, I don't know. I would love to know what I was thinking the first time I watched this.
I think the thing that's the most shocking, at least to me, is that, again, kidnapped a kid and then basically raised mm-hmm. him and both went on to go to college. Mm-hmm. And it's more of the absurdity of that and yeah. the thinking of, okay, well, to get here, you had to do all this and just, it's just funny. It's not as serious or hard-hitting as it really should have been.
Yep. Yep. Those were our likes and dislikes about the show. One was a little bit more top-heavy than the other. But now we're going to talk a little bit about the OST before wrapping up.
There is an OST for this drama that, according to Melon, was released on August 18th, 2015. Like the show, the OST is a strange mixed bag, yet is memorable. The songs that included lyrics such as I See You by Shin Young Jae from 2F, Ana Choyo by Ben, Remember by Dear Cloud, Who Are You by Lim Kim, and It Shows by Hong Dae Kwang were used during soft moments. However, the instrumental tracks had more range and generally geared towards the crime segments of the show. I Remember You, which was the instrumental intro for the show, had a tone of action and intrigue. Then there's Invitation to the Past, which was used during mysterious or informational moments. Strangely, it felt like three songs in one, and the start of it reminded me of, okay, before I say this, I'm well aware that this is an obscure reference. I'm aware that many of you may not be familiar with what I'm talking about, but it reminded me of the songs The Orphanage and Return to the Cove from the December Boys soundtrack. Then, for serious moments, songs like Black Waltz and Hunch were used, while Painful was typically paired with murder scenes. Invitation to the Crime was usually used during scenes that were launching points for investigations. And the final one I want to mention is Hello Monster, which is a more upbeat song for mysterious and crime investigation situations. It felt like there was a big disconnect. Mm-hmm. And even though the songs weren't necessarily bad, there wasn't really a through line other than that they were all for the same show. Like, again, the songs where you had singers guesting on, those were typically for love stuff. And then you have the whole other part of the soundtrack, which was just crime. But then you've got songs like Hello Monster, which were more da 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 da. You know what I mean? Like that kind of upbeat.
Yeah.
Sort of jazzy song, which was just weird.
A fitting soundtrack for a mess of a show.
It was.
Yeah.
But again, when I was listening to the soundtrack, and it has 25 songs, which is a lot, I have to say, though, it's like I could remember, okay, this was for this scene. Or I remember them using it for this. Mm-hmm. So it is memorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's got that going for it, which there's a lot of OSTs where sometimes I'm like, I do not remember you.
Right, right.
Which I suppose that was the whole point of the drama. I remember you. Well, oh, true.
There you go.
Just not the way they meant.
So funny. Overall, this was a messy, messy drama. And to be quite honest, a disappointment. Jointly, we don't recommend watching it at all. Obviously, you can if you want. But this is... It's not good. It's not good. But it is free to watch on Viki, which is what we did. So if you would like to do that, go for it. And if you want, you could let us know what you think. We would love to interact with you in that way. But thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, then please make sure to rate, subscribe, follow, tell your friends about us, and review us on Podchaser. If you want to interact with us or just see more of our content, then you can follow us on Twitter at @kpopsunbaes or on our other social media platforms, which will be in the description. More single scoops are coming your way soon. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
안녕.